Here is a tidbit of market research from Payne Weber that's cited in the current issue of Business Week. Just 7.6% of all personal care and household products account for 84.5% of all sales. Findings like that make you wonder why there are so many products on supermarket shelves if so few of them really sell. Well, the Business Week article is about a radical shift in thinking at Procter & Gamble and at some other manufacturers as well. Business Week correspondent Zach Schiller says the shift is towards simplicity. Procter & Gamble, he says, reduced the number of its trade promotions, its coupons, and its product lines.
If you take, say, their hair care products such as Head & Shoulders or Pert, Vidal Sassoon, they've cut the total different number of items offered altogether almost in half. And this is done partly by getting rid of the slow-selling items especially, but also some others that might have had special packaging or they use other kinds of criteria and they get rid of a certain number. They try and make sure that there's a certain amount of sales per unit of every item that they sell.
Now, when you speak of an item, are you defining an item here as Pert Plus for oily hair as opposed to very oily hair, or Pert Plus for oily hair in a big container as opposed to Pert Plus for oily hair in a small container?
Both. Mm-hmm. An item is literally every different single type of product. So if you had Pert Plus for oily hair and in large and small, and Pert Plus for super oily hair in large and small, that would be four items.
Now, even an anecdotal experience of what's happened in supermarkets would tell us that over the past several years, the trend has been toward great proliferation of things in every conceivable different size and shape and with a little different consistency here or a little added flavor there.
Well, it's wildly out of control because there's something like 20,000 of these new items that are added annually, and the average supermarket only carries about 30,000. So obviously you can see that the vast bulk of these new products never go anywhere, and yet we come to the supermarket and we see that there's such confounding variety, you can't find what you want.
Yes, your article in Business Week includes some astonishing figures from consultant Kurt Salmon Associates. It says, almost a quarter of the products in a typical supermarket, you write, sell fewer than one unit a month.
Yeah, I found that kind of astonishing myself, but this is pretty widely known. And, of course, you know, there's an occasional product where it still pays to stock it because you go in there and you want your pimento with a particular kind of onion inside for your party that you've been planning for 2 months. And if they don't have it, you're very upset and you may not come back. But on the other hand, how many different styles of pimentos with onions do you need?
Now, didn't this proliferation of items and packages and different varieties of the same item, I mean, wasn't all that part of addressing every conceivable little niche and having a product that was exactly tailored to a much more varied body of consumers?
Some of it certainly was. I must say that some of it just seems irrational, frankly. But there's still a good deal of debate about this, and not everyone agrees that you can simply start hacking away at the product variety without, in fact, losing customers because you are getting rid of some of those individually tailored products. I think, though, that many of these things that are put out are not carefully tailored and just shouldn't be out there.
You mentioned one example of both a Procter & Gamble product and, I believe, a competing product, paper diapers, disposable diapers, and a decision that Procter & Gamble has made that goes against the grain.
Yeah, they've decided after some years ago they brought us diapers for boys and girls, the pink and blue that you see, whether or not you're a shopper for diapers, and told us all that this was a necessity. And lo and behold, now they've discovered that, well, no, we don't really need diapers for boys and girls separately, and they claim that this is because of great technological innovation, but one would think that it's just that they've realized this is not necessary. So soon you'll go and you won't see that. By contrast, though, the biggest diaper brand, Huggies, made by Kimberly-Clark, they are not eliminating that, so we'll see a competition of which one, in fact, has most consumers prefer.
Well, Zach Schiller, thank you very much for talking with us about it.
Thanks.
Zach Schiller is a Business Week correspondent in Cleveland. He spoke to us from member station WCPN.